thinking actually earlier in the week how many messages I've heard one way or another as far as the Sabbath services and holy days and the feast sites and so on. I've started totalling it up, and over my lifetime I've heard 6,500 to 7,000. And you think about 6,500 to 7,000 messages that you've heard over a period of time. How many repeats are there? When you think about the holy day messages, you know, the meaning of the day, you know, why are we here? There are certainly repeats there. But undoubtedly you'll have things like faith and the Holy Spirit being discussed numerous times. And the two trees, say, numerous times. And what I thought I'd like to do today is to show the value of repetition. Because it does seem to be a problem if you look at certain passages regarding repetition. It does seem to be a problem at the end time. That people are not content to have the kind of repetition that God intends for them. So if we turn over to 2 Peter, first of all, 2 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 12, it says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." So it's the case of always in remembrance means a repetition of the remembrance. And that you know them, although you know them, and be established in the present truth. In other words, you know them, you're aware of what I'm about to give you, but continually you need to be remembered. You need to be reminded of these things. Yes, I think it's fitting, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And he was just about to, well, as he goes on, he says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, as our Lord Jesus has shown us." So he was aware that his death was coming, and therefore the paramount thing that Peter was wanting to get across was the fact that people need to be continually being reminded of the things that he was talking about. And these are bedrock things that he was talking about, the kind of things he was talking about. Verse 3, "According to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us by the glory and virtue, whereby has given us exceeding great and precious promises. By these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature." So these are foundational things that he was sharing with everybody that he was writing to. But he says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me." In verse 15 of chapter 1, "Moreover, I will endeavour that you may be after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." In other words, going back and remembering these things and having these things always in remembrance counteracts against the fables, and counteracts against the other new things that may be coming along. And certainly it's the meat and potatoes, it's the bread, it's the two trees, it's faith, it's the Spirit of God, it's, as he says, and "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance," and so on, and going down to agape as the final quality that he mentions there. So these are certainly foundational things, but they need to be continually being brought to remembrance, being brought to our attention, and making sure that they stay in the forefront of our minds as they need to. And that does take a degree of repetition, and therefore certainly it's something that we all need to bear in mind and take note of, that repetition is a good thing. It's something that God has designed for us within the church. We find the same thing if we turn over to over in 2 Timothy. He too was, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, you find that he too was, Paul was expecting death at any time at this juncture. "For I am now ready to be offered," and in verse 6, "and the time of my departure is at hand." So he was anticipating his death, and at that time he was trying to get something across to the church. And particularly when you think of what it says in chapter 3, he was talking to Timothy, and it says in verse 1, it says, "This know that in the last days perilous times shall come." So he's talking about the end time. So at the end time he's talking to us specifically as well. And not just the people at that time then, but to us particularly. And in this particular time, it says in verse 16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. So these again are foundational things, foundational doctrines, foundational teachings. And the reason he was bringing these things to the attention of Timothy at that time, he just flows straight into chapter 4. So I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. And the word has been, the word is for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, foundational words, in other words, he's talking about. And it says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. So in season, on the holy days, preaching, why are we here? And going through it for the umpteenth time, because it's foundational material that needs to be brought to everybody's attention. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with all long-suffering and doctrine. And here, in the context of this, in the last days, perilous time shall come. In this context, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now notice what he says. He says they heap to themselves. In other words, you get one teacher isn't a heap. You know, you get a few teachers to have a heap of teachers. And therefore, you heap to yourself the teachers, all these different teachers. And why? Well, because they all have different ideas. They all have different concepts that they're bringing. And it's not a problem with having different concepts. They're founded on the foundation and rooted to the foundation. But there's a duplication that is necessary, and certainly the value of repetition is certainly something that is to be appreciated. Otherwise, you fall into this trap of having itching ears. And they, notice what it says in verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears, these itching ears, from the truth, which is the foundational of bread and potatoes and meat and foundational food that is needed. So they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. So again, repetition is necessary to make sure that we do not turn to fables, we do not turn to something, that constantly looking for something new, constantly looking for something which is going to scratch the ear in a certain way, which is what Paul is saying here and bringing across to Timothy. And as I say, he was expecting death soon, and so was Peter. Peter was also expecting death soon, and yet each week we have the Sabbath. And again, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's something that happens every week. And each time we sing psalms, sing the same psalms over and over again, repetition. And yet it means that we're actually learning the psalms by doing so. We don't have to have something new. I mean, repetition, seven times table, 177, 27, 14, 37, 21, 47, 28. Why? How do I learn that? By having a teacher that's got us in class, say 177, 27, 14, 37, 21, 47, 28, and on it goes. And seven is an unusual number, because you know you can't really memorize a seven. Nine, as one number goes up, the other number goes down. You know, there's a patterns in all these. Five's dead easy, ten's dead easy, but seven, that's a different. But again, repetition. Repetition is necessary. Let's turn to the final scripture over to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17, because the case for repetition being mentioned here, it says in verse 14, when you come into the land of the Eternal, your God shall give you and shall possess it, shall dwell therein and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as the nations that are about me, then you shall in no wise set a king over you. It's not for one of your people. And this was actually added by Samuel, after the event, after the actual thing that happened in his case. But in this particular passage, verse 18, it shall be that when this king sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in the book which is before the priests, the Levites. Now this law was probably the book of Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. That was probably the book that was actually copied out. But remember, there's no printing presses at that time, there's no Bible. This was a copying of the law. And certainly, when you consider it with David, you know, how I love your law, it's ever before me. How? Why? Well, basically because he had access to the copy that was actually before the priest Abithar, remember Abithar, the high priest's son, that fled with David, and he brought the ephod with him. He probably brought the scroll with him as well, and therefore David was able to fulfill this. And he would, and notice what it says, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. So every day David would presumably read something of the law, something of the book of Deuteronomy. It was repetition. He's probably read the, you know, many, many times, dozens of times before. But that's how he came to love the law, to love the Torah of God. And certainly it is something for the righteous kings. And let's hope we are righteous kings, kings and priests in training. That he should read all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Eternal as God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, and to do them. And his heart is not lifted up above his brethren, and so on. But notice it must have been repetition, that every day he had to read from this law, from this book of Deuteronomy, presumably, and remember the direction in which our life and our minds have got to go. The repetition was necessary, and the repetition was something which was teaching that king to govern properly. It's something that we also need to bear in mind. The fact is that we're going to be kings and priests, and we need to not despise repetition, not be like I was, quite frankly, when Mr. Armstrong used to get up and say, now go, turn back to Genesis and notice these two trees. And this audible groan used to go up from everybody. But we didn't realize just how valuable that repetition is, and it was and is today, and certainly something we need to make sure that we don't despise repetition, and particularly today, as we are in the end time.